Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. For more information and to donate online, go to 3cr.org.au. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Freedom of Species brings animal advocacy to the airwaves. It's a program dedicated to raising awareness of issues concerning animals. This includes advocacy, activism, protection, conservation, and importantly, appreciation. The show is broadcast from the 3CR studios in Melbourne on 855 AM every Sunday at 1 PM. And thank you very much for another fantastic show from Sally at Out of the Pan. Make sure you listen in next week for all topics pansexual and all of that sort of good stuff. So listen in to Sally next Sunday at 12 PM. And we're going to go straight into a song today to get us in the mood for a very important topic. And unless you've been living under a rock somewhere, and it might be good to live under a rock at the moment, but unless you've been living under a rock, you will have heard of the climate strike that happened on Friday. Hundreds of thousands of people around the country and millions of people around the world striking for climate and raising awareness and getting action to happen on the climate crisis. So we're going to go to a song to build up the topic today. And this is by New Model Army, and the song is called Ballad.
When they look back at us and they write down their history, what will they say about our generation? We're the ones who knew everything, still we did nothing, harvested everything, planted nothing. Well, we live pretty well in the wake of the gold rush, floating in comfort on waves of our apathy, quietly gnawing away at our body till we mortgage the future, bury our children, storehouses full of the fruits we've been given, send off the scraggins to suckle the starving, but still we can't feed this strange hunger inside, greedy, restless and unsatisfied. I was never much one in the great Big Bang Theory, going out in a blaze of suicidal glory. Not foolish and brave, these leaders of ours, just stupid and petty, unworthy of power. Just a little leak here and a small error there, another square mile, poison forever, a series of sad and pathetic little fizzles. Out go the lights, never to return. The affair is over, the passion is dead. She stares at us now with ice in her eyes, but we turn away from these bitter reproaches, take up distractions to forget what we're doing. Hills, and I watch her at night, a thousand 1,000 square miles and a million orange lights. Wounded and scarred, she lies silent in pain. Raped and betrayed in the cold acid rain. And I wish and I wish and I wish and I wish we could start over again. Yeah, I wish and I wish and I wish. And win her back once again.
And that was Ballad by New Model Army, speaking about the intergenerational injustices that are caused and that we're seeing within the climate and the environment at the moment. And that we really trying to sort of point out that we really need to get things going. We really need to be acting on this. And on today's show, we're going to be talking about the climate strike, the global climate strike, and in particular, what we saw in Melbourne. We've got some interviews from people on the ground. Joining us today is Christian Freitag, a friend of Friends of the Earth. And Christian was there on Friday as well at the global climate strike. So thank you for coming on, Christian.
No worries. Good to be here.
Yeah. So on Friday, hundreds of thousands of Australians joined the global climate strike. The climate strike was being led by school strikers. And it was really, I was really impressed to see such elegant and passionate school students stand and demand action on one of the greatest issues of our age, which is the climate crisis. And that they really were leading this this movement, and they really were leading this action. It was being driven by these young people. And I reflected on, I'd go to climate marches and things 5-10 years ago, and it was a totally different demographic. It was older people up there standing on the stage speaking about the issues, but it was just such a different thing this time, and it was really, really inspiring, and really I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to come out of this, because there's so much energy there, and these young people really need to be doing this, because they're the ones that are most going to experience the issue. I was able to attend the strike in Geelong, which is a rural city about an hour away from Melbourne, and I came to the strike in Melbourne, and there were thousands of people that turned up in Geelong, and I was quite surprised at the number. It was great. It was good to see so many people come along. And then when we got to Melbourne, there was over 100,000 people, the largest march that I've ever been to, quite easily. And it was huge, and there was so much energy and so much sort of strong will and passion in the space. There were all sorts of people in attendance, and it was really great to see lots of signs about the role of animal agriculture and how animals are going to be impacted by the climate crisis. And I decided it would be great to take along a recorder and hear what people had to say about the climate crisis in relation to animals. So I did seek out those people that had signs related to animals or veganism or animal agriculture. So you might get, but there are a couple of people who clearly weren't vegan as well. So you'll get a range of answers, but really about how people within the animal movement, I suppose, are thinking about animals in the context of climate change and the climate crisis. So we'll start off with hearing from Christian. What was your experience of the climate strike?
It was actually, the first major rally that I've actually been to. So it was quite an experience. Like I've been near rallies and protests in the past, but never really actually as part of it. And so it was quite an experience just being there with so many people. Because like I said, it was about over 100,000 people. And as you said, I think it was striking just how, no pun intended, it was striking how positive the mood and the mindset was when we're dealing with such obviously like such a scary and terrible thing, but everyone sort of had a very positive will and mindset towards it, and a sort of I guess a belief that something actually can happen, and which that seemed to be the overarching sort of mood or emotion of it. Yeah. And like you said, the demographics were all over the place in a good way. Yeah. So there's a lot of really young people. There was old people as well. There was people our age. Mm. There was everyone.
And lots of like really young kids.
Exactly. Yeah.
really young kids, which is great. Yep. Like 3, 4. In fact, you'll hear from some very young kids just now. We'll listen to some of the responses that people gave us when I asked them where animals fit into the conversation about climate change.
Animals are central to the discussion of climate change. There is more and more research indicating that animal agriculture is one of the leading causes of climate change. It's also one of the leading causes of land clearing and deforestation. There's no solution to climate change and deforestation without including the impacts of animal agriculture in that discussion.
Animal agriculture is giving a big impact on climate change.
Yes, it is.
They're destroying like all the nature to make like more farming, to kill more animals.
So you can more space to make crops for the animals who are going to get killed and eaten by humans.
Deforestation of the Amazon forest for beef.
Because animals are becoming extinct, we've lost a huge percentage of our animals already, and they're in danger all the time. Their breeding places, their forests, the places they travel to for food, they just can't get around because we've interrupted their paths.
They're losing their homes because of the rising sea levels and the melting ice caps.
Well, animals are going to be affected just as much as humans, and as we're seeing, like, more and more species going extinct at the moment. But it's also animal agriculture has such a big impact on the environment. So it's not only being a massive contributor to lots of the issues that we're facing now, but it's also going to be, like, so largely affected. So agriculture, animals, the future, I don't think there is a future for animal agriculture. So it's going to have to change a lot. The industry is going to have to change a lot, and it's just not going to be sustainable into the future.
They're the major point of discussion. Without using animals, the planet will survive. We need to get animal agriculture out of the equation.
Well, all beings are affected by climate change, so of course they're part of the discussion. And they're not at fault for making climate change, so they shouldn't really suffer from it. There's obviously the whole, the emissions that killing and eating animals and their products has on the climate and how that contributes to it. So that's part of the conversation. But also just the whole food system in general. Like it's, you know, there's the ethical side, but there's also how to live sustainably once degrowth happens, once we realise that economic growth isn't okay, how do we feed a lot of people after that? So they're a huge part of the conversation.
Oh my goodness, they're so, so important. Imagine all these thousands of people that are here today. If they all became vegan and they all joined the Animal Justice Party, we could actually make a significant difference. Because when we have animal rallies, we don't get these crowds. So, you know, these people, a lot of these people here aren't vegan, and they need to be vegan if they really want to make a difference. It's not so hard. You know, I mean, you can recycle, have short showers, you can do all those things. It's not going to change the amount of things that we need to change. It's not going to change, you know, the environment, the pollution from animal off, what do they call it when that runs off the farms? Yeah, runoff. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, all that, along with all the things people are already doing, if they just put themselves out that little bit, they'll find it's not hard. As a matter of fact, they'll say what most vegans say, they wish they'd done it sooner. And I don't know any vegan that hasn't said that. It's amazing.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously animal products and methane and all of that creates huge amounts of waste and gases. All of our monocropping agriculture, you know, the destroying of the Amazon, which is a huge climate sink to then grow soy or whatever it is to feed the cows. It's all a bit ridiculous when you look at, you know, how we, sustainable food could be. It's just what we're doing is insane. So.
Okay, so my name's Andy Menick. I'm the member for Western Victoria in the Upper House in State Parliament of Victoria. For over 15 years prior to the IPCC, we had the United Nations Council on Climate Change, which was issuing reports based around what was needed to mitigate climate change. And they spoke about not just the reduction in the use of fossil fuels and the move towards public transport, but they also spoke about a reduction in animal agriculture. And they spoke about it from a very, very clear perspective, a scientific perspective. And that was that the clearing of land, the destruction of habitat and the loss of species, as well as then the evaporation of water and the use of water in animal agriculture, and not just the emission of methane, which is where everyone tends to get caught up. They were talking about an overall problem that is associated with animal agriculture as being a central part of the fix to the climate emergency. Now, I've watched that percentage increase from below 1% over 15 years ago to the IPCC report earlier this year, which stated that figure is now 20%. And they keep saying this because they keep saying, you're not listening to us. This is a tool in the toolbox. It's part of the solution, and you won't fix it unless you use them all. Now, I fully expect that there will be a whole bunch of people that will say, well, we'll willingly embrace using less fossil fuels. We're willing to do all of these things, but we won't talk about mitigating the use of animal agriculture, because for things to have to change, it requires people to change, and people are very uncomfortable about change. So I fully expect the next IPCC report to be well in excess of 20%, and that's a terrible thing to expect. But I hope that there's a lot of young people here today that will hear that message, that will read those reports, and that they'll make the change. And I have a message for Scott Morrison and the other climate denialists, and that is that the young people who are here today are the people that will take over from you. They will not only throw you out of office, they will get themselves elected, and they will make the change that you are so hesitant and so reticent to do. So be careful, because they're coming for you.
Well, I think that we don't need to eat animals to survive, and I think they have a right to life. And I think fossil fuels and animal eating are the biggest climate destroyers.
Red alert. Numbers are needed at the Jatvarung Heritage Protection Embassy camps immediately. Sacred birthing trees on Jatvarung country need protecting. Over 50 generations have been born on these sites, and the birthing trees themselves are 800 years old. These trees are being protected from the Victorian Labor Party's planned highway extension that is set to destroy this sacred dreaming landscape. The campaign to protect country is led by Jatvarung traditional owners, who are calling on people from all walks of life for support. You can help by joining traditional owners at the camp on Jatvarung country near Ararat, or by donating and putting pressure on Daniel Andrews to protect this sacred land. Visit dwembassy.com for more information and updates. No trees, no treaty.
You're listening to Freedom of Species on 3CR, Radical Radio, Community Radio, 855 AM. Every Sunday at 1 PM, we are here talking about animals, and today we are joined by Christian Freitag, and we are talking about the climate strike that happened on Friday. Hundreds of thousands of people around Australia, millions of people around the world, coming together to say we need action to tackle the climate emergency and to tackle the climate crisis that we are currently experiencing. And we just heard from lots of different people about how they consider animals within the discussion of climate change. Is there anything that you particularly took away from that, Christian?
What I found interesting in regards to that was a lot of people had that, or had made that link, that loss of climate, between the loss of climate and animal agriculture in regards to the driving of climate change. So some people might just say, the main issue between, say, animals and climate change is that those animals will actually lose their climate. But obviously there's more to it than that. The main loss of climate and the cause of climate change is actually by animal agriculture. We're removing their homes and contributing to climate change by basically clearing out of the forest, etc., for the animal agriculture industry. It's not just a byproduct of us doing like a gel. That's the way for it. My brains are scattered at the moment.
it's not just the impact of climate on the individual animals themselves, but also the deforestation and the animal agricultural system that we are using not only perpetuates impacts on climate and perpetuates the climate crisis or increases the climate crisis, but it also at the same time destroys habitats for animals. So there's like this two prongs where taking away habitat, destroying land to grow these animals that and both the destruction of land and change in land use sort of ramps up climate crisis, as well as taking away land for those animals so they're dying from that. But then they're going to be stung at the back end because the climate crisis is increasing temperatures and is going to be hitting them in that way as well. So we're actually, for wild animals, we're actually really hitting them from both ends in this way. And the climate is both a immediate threat through land use change. Like the climate crisis brings out this understanding that there's an immediate threat through land use change, which contributes significantly to the climate crisis, but also the exacerbation of the climate emergency and global temperature rises also impacts animals by changing the environment around them and the suitable climate envelope that they live within.
That was worded far more articulately than I was trying.
Well, you got it out there, so it's good. That's teamwork. It was interesting. And I think the other thing that that a few people mentioned was that it's not just about animal agriculture. Animal agriculture is one part. It's an important part, but we need to be doing more things. Mm. And someone also pointed out that we need to be thinking about degrowth, capitalism, and all of these ideas, economics, which really drives a lot of the issues around climate, that we've got this growth mindset that we must just continue to grow at all costs, and that
grow and consume.
Yeah, well, that and growth is consumption,
yep.
And that comes at the cost of the environment. And the externalities we push onto the environment through this growth mindset, this capitalist mindset.
Yeah. I think that was probably one thing I noticed, and I think some people have this problem with a lot of these, with rallies like this, is they go, okay, so what's the action to come out of this? So people are marching, but what now? Like, what specific change are they marching for? Is there a clear agenda? Because obviously I think everyone there would be in agreement that something needs to be done.
Yeah.
And then the question is, okay, so what is that thing? And it can't be sort of vague or broad in terms of, okay, so we're going to, let's say, increase our targets and reduce emissions, things like that. But what does that actually mean? What are the tangible things? I mean, obviously, I'm biased, but I would say easiest, biggest piece of action you can do is reduce or remove entirely animal agriculture.
Mm. Immediate action. I mean, we need to do that and other things.
Correct, yeah. Short and long term. Yeah.
In terms of individual actions, that is certainly the biggest one that you can make. And we'll talk about that in this. We'll listen to a song. We're going to go to a song by Tracy Chapman called The Rape of the World. Quite strong there. But also after that, we'll come back and we'll listen immediately after that song to more answers from people. And it's after asking a question about what we can do to tackle climate change through systemic and personal actions. And you'll hear people at the climate strike's response to those questions after this song.
Father of us all, place of our birth. How can we stand aside? Watch the rape of the world. This the beginning of the end. This the most heinous of crimes. This the deadliest of
you us all, mother of 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 us all.
Victoria's roadside drug testing program is not about road safety. In last year's governmental inquiry into drug law reform, it was noted that Victoria's RDT program is falling behind on latest evidence regarding impairment. Currently, Victoria Police can charge people for detection of either cannabis, amphetamines, or MDMA. But those detections do not correlate with impairment. Impaired drivers should be removed from the roads, and that's why we're urging an inquiry into Victoria's RDT scheme to ensure that the resources that are currently employed to make our roads safer are being properly used to make our roads safer. Help us refocus road safety onto what makes roads safe. Sign the e-petition parliament.vic.gov.au/council/petitions. And look for the Inquiry into Drug Driving Reform, Petition 117.
A 3CR supporter.
And I think that individual eating choices, for me, I find it really empowering. We're always trying to get political action and industry action on this, and it can be frustrating and disheartening. But being able to make that choice, you know, three times a day with what you eat, that's going to create a more positive outcome on the environment, is really empowering for me, and I think for a lot of other people as well.
Animal agriculture isn't the biggest impact on climate change, but it certainly plays a part. We all need to do our part. Adapting to a plant-based diet is the way to go, because our planet simply cannot sustain this lifestyle. So I think ending factory farming, because vegan food's on the rise, but animals are dying more than ever. So ending factory farming on a bigger scale, but as well to end factory farming is to attack the system. I don't think veganism isn't about food. It's not about people. It's the system. Obviously, it's a multi-million, trillion-dollar business. They're not going to just give in like that. Majority of these people are here for climate until you tell them to change your diet, because then they need to change something about themselves.
Do you contribute into making change? If you avoid some sort of animal products, you couldn't really make a change?
I think food's definitely a huge component. We eat a lot of meat in Australia, and we really don't need to.
Well, we should think about it. They clear land all the time. Apart from the fact that it's shockingly cruel for animals to be in feedlots all the time, the millions of starving children in the world could be fed with the grain that their countries export to us, to Australia, to feed animals. Win, win, win. It's fantastic. We could just do so much if we all just stopped, really thought about what we're doing, and thought about the cow in the room. It would be amazing. We could make a big difference. And like I said, if this amount of people came on a live export rally, can you imagine? We could really put pressure on the government. But nobody's putting pressure on the government unless we come here. But if you stop buying the milk and the cheese and the dairy and the meat, they'll notice the difference. With this amount of people all stopping, there would actually be a significant change, and there would be pressure on farmers to adopt plant-based, agriculture.
All the food that comes wrapped in plastic.
I was thinking about avocados that come on trays with plastic on them, so kind of echoing what you said, making better choices about the fruit, vegetables that we choose and where we buy it, so the farmers' markets, and not having to have everything wrapped in plastic.
Homegrown food, locally grown food, without the transports, without pesticides, all those things, and food that doesn't take huge amounts of water. We need that.
it's not sustainable to live the lives that we're living at the moment and the rate that people are consuming meat products and animal products. And if you're in a place of privilege and accessibility, you know, this whole climate strike is about system change, but also paired with individual change, you have to do the most. It's not one or the other. And really being a vegan is like one of the easiest things you can do to make yourself feel better about the current climate that we're in. And yeah, I mean, if you have that privilege, you should assert it, definitely. Yeah. Plus, eating animals is just disgusting.
By writing to our politicians, by standing up and letting people hear the conversation and how important it is, and letting people know that there's people from all walks of life that are concerned about the climate. We've been educated in it for decades and we're still not listening to our own education. So we need to appeal to the right people, the powers that be.
Contact our local politicians, write letters, go and visit them, attend rallies like this.
I think it's just about being persistent, being united, taking care of ourselves and each other, and yeah, as I said, making those individual choices, but showing up on days like today as well and being part of the community voice to get strong action on this from a government level.
I think individuals, yeah, need to be accountable for their own actions, and you know, if everyone speaks up, then they will be forced to have system changing and policies in place for the bigger companies, which are the ones that are, I guess, held accountable for making all of contributing to all of the emissions, as opposed to individuals.
I think each making individual choices at home and in our daily lives, but then coming to a big thing like this and knowing that we have a big impact.
Well, personally, we can change our choices of what we use diet-wise and other actions like transport, plastics, carbon use, all that, and bigger actions. The government needs to get rid of coal mines and things like that. Change over the animal farming to plant-based farming.
I guess, well, the reason we're here today is to, like, get the media and the politicians' attention, because at the end of the day, we're not the ones that, you know, put this legislation in place. We're not the ones that are approving coal mines. In fact, 80% of Australians are against the, you know, construction of the Adani coal mine. So it's by showing up, people power, and collectively coming together to create change and demand change from the people that, you know, make the decisions.
Yeah, and I think system change and individual change need to come hand in hand, because although we want system change, individual change creates social movements which then also help system change. So although we need system change from big corporations and the government, it's so easy to be coupled along with individual change, and especially something like veganism. It's just something that you can do just by eating. Like, just by eating, you're actually creating massive change. You're creating a social movement. You're also just reducing your impact in the best possible way as an individual, but it's also promoting system change and doing those two alongside. Like, it's not like you're not ever faced in like a fork road where you can either do system change or individual change. They can be coupled, and veganism is one of the easiest things to make the biggest difference. It just, they need to come hand in hand.
Well, I guess try our best to, you know, take on board all of the personal action things, like, you know, the way that we get around, what we eat, all of that, you know. Well, I always get annoyed at the water one, because most of the water we use is, you know, industrial water. Having a shorter shower doesn't really make that much of a difference. But to me, the personal action is also part of, you know, creating the world that we want to see, practicing the world that we're going to have, you know, once... well, you know, that we're doing right now, as we're literally creating a better way of living and learning from the cultures that have been doing it for a long time, as well as my grandparents, who were plastic free just because they had to be, so I'm learning from them. But yeah, the individual action, it's not, you know, it's a drop in the ocean. What's actually, you know, we need to be tackling the systems of capitalism, colonization, the corporates, kind of shutting them down, shutting down the fossil fuel plants, shutting down the animal agriculture plants, you know, that's, to me, that's where the most effect can be made, to kind of resist these things and stop them. I've been down the path of the letters to your government and letters to the corporations, and that didn't work, and I respect people that do that because that's also part of it, but I hope that more and more people realize that that's, you know, that's not actually really, you know, they'll just end up greenwashing to make themselves look good while still doing really destructive practices. So I'm a big fan of, you know, getting in and stopping their work, as has been done throughout history very effectively. So going into the corporations, the farms, the fossil fuel plants, you know, into Galinda in Australia. I can't wait till that happens, where thousands of us walk into the coal mines and shut them down. And if we can do that for multiple days, then, and, you know, every, you know, for weeks and weeks and weeks, then that'll make a difference. So that's where I think it's at.
And what can we do to help climate change and animals?
Not eat animals.
And go vegan.
We are here to fight an injustice when we don't live in a single issue world. It's multiple issues, and we need to be open to address multiple issues in this world.
And you're listening to Freedom of Species, 855 AM, 3CR Radical Radio, Community Radio. And thanks for tuning in. So we've been listening to some interviews that I did at the climate strike on Friday in Melbourne, Melbourne, Australia, and lots of people there talking about the different ways that we can both take personal action and also systemic action to tackle climate change. Was there anything that specifically came out to you, Christian, that sort of you wanted to mention?
Yeah. The big one that leapt out at me was actually one of the last interviews where the lady was talking about the different things you can do personally, like writing in to like an MP or having shorter showers, or you could even extend this further to things like recycling more, using less plastic, things like that. While they're good, they may not necessarily, that won't necessarily cause the fix by itself. Everyone just started doing it. Everyone in the world did that. Sure, they'd have a pretty good impact, but it doesn't necessarily change the way in which the entire system and structure is set up. So it wouldn't necessarily change things like how land is used, wouldn't change the animal agricultural industry necessarily. Obviously, if everyone all of a sudden went vegan, that would change it. Just a caveat on that part. But if everyone just all of a sudden, say, had less showers and stopped using plastic, the system would still be set up the same way, and so we'd still end up having this climate problem. So it's a little bit bigger than that. So personal choices and like little things that we can do, yep, they're absolutely great. Not to knock those things. They're still really good and they're still important. And I think if you're acting in a moral and conscientious way, you're probably going to be doing or trying to do some of these things anyway. But yeah, it's a bigger thing. Yeah.
And what was really interesting for me when I was having these conversations is that the people who were talking about personal and systemic change going hand in hand and needing to happen at the same time, and that personal change can lead to systemic change, but that we need to have a focus on both. We need to really make sure that we're not just doing personal, you know, recycling or stopping the use of plastic, which are good in themselves but aren't going to make that big difference. They were really young people. Mm. They were really young women who were talking about these things. And the older people that I spoke to weren't really talking about these things. And in fact, they weren't necessarily talking about that need for the systemic change, the fundamental change to all our systems, especially beyond the political system. Like, there was a few people in there talking about a need to go and speak to MPs, and I think that's valuable. If that's what you feel comfortable doing, I think definitely go and speak to MPs. But we also need more than that. We need more than just the same political class, the same political captured politicians and political system that's captured by large industry and capitalism, driving the world down this road of capitalism and down this road of environmental exploitation. That's really hard to change, and it's not going to change from a couple of emails to an MP. We're going to need fundamental changes to how our society both respects the environment and thinks about how we as humans relate to the environment and the world and to others and to animals. And I was it's really interesting to hear how younger people are speaking about this issue, especially in comparison to older people who maybe aren't as clear on that connection between personal and systemic action. Mm. Obviously, I'm talking about a small subset, and that might be different across the board. But it certainly seemed that the people who were more radical were younger, I suppose. And another thing that I wanted to mention, and you might have noticed this through the interviews, is that almost every person I spoke to was a woman. And I didn't realize that on the day. I didn't realize that was happening until I was listening back to the recordings this morning, cutting them all together for the show. But I think it's indicative of the animal movement in particular being driven by women, they are the leaders in our movement. Women are the leaders in veganism and animal rights. And I was finding people who were clearly showing recognition of the issue of animal agriculture and veganism in relation to climate change. They were holding signs, they were wearing t-shirts, they were doing something. And all of those people that I saw were women.
Yep.
And I just thought that was really interesting. Considering, veganism, 70% women, it's makes sense. But I think it's important that we recognize that the leaders in this movement are women, and the leading thinkers in this movement are also women. They're really pushing this stuff forward.
Yeah, I was saying that earlier, that every time when I saw a Sea Shepherd's shirt or something like that, or a sign, it was, as you said, it was all women.
Yep. Yep. Okay, we'll go to a one last song before we finish up, and I'm sure you've all heard this one before. Sorry about that. That was just something else playing, and it shouldn't have. That this is Gautier, Eyes Wide Open.
Stop! From October the 28th to the 31st, some of the worst climate criminals will be gathering for the International Mining Conference, IMARC, at the Melbourne Convention Centre. Blockade IMARC is an activist alliance committed to putting a stop to the mass destruction caused by extractive industries across the globe and the harm they cause to communities and ecosystems. We need your help to be part of this blockade. Find out how at blockadeimarc.com or check out our Facebook page, Blockade IMARC, a 3CR supporter.
And welcome back. You're listening to Freedom of Species here on 3CR Radical Radio. Thanks for tuning in to support your local community radio and activist radio, importantly. And it's almost as if someone had planned it, but we're now going to talk about Blockade IMARC after that little sting about Blockade IMARC. And we're going to encourage you to get down there, either help organising with the Blockade IMARC, the event that's going to be happening from the 28th to the 31st of October in Melbourne. And I'm just going to read out a little bit of a bit about what Blockade IMARC is and how you can get involved. So Blockade IMARC is a community alliance committed to stopping the mass destruction caused by extractive industries across the globe and to stop the harm they cause to human communities, animals and ecosystems. And animals is really important. There's lots and lots of people. There's lots of groups. I was speaking to one of the organisers of Blockade IMARC, and they mentioned that they're just getting lots and lots of vegan groups coming on board to be part of Blockade IMARC and help with the help with organising and getting the event going. So if you're wondering why animals relate, then certainly check it out, and they certainly do, because these industries cause massive issues to animals through the destruction of habitat, the pollution of ecosystems, environments, and through things like climate change. So lots of folks have come together to organise a mass blockade of the International Mining and Resource Conference. That's what IMARC stands for. And IMARC is an annual meeting of environmental vandals and climate criminals meeting in Melbourne from October the 28th to 31st. At the Melbourne Convention Centre, Convention and Exhibition Centre. It's Blockade IMARC is inspired by the mass protests and blockades that took place in the late 1990s and early 2000s against the meetings on the of the rich and powerful, including the S11 blockade and the World Economic Forum in Melbourne. To build a truly massive challenge to this gathering of the filthy rich 1%. We need hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people to join the organising efforts. There is space for everyone to contribute their ideas, so please get along to Blockade IMARC, get along to their next open organising meeting. They're having these regularly, and you can find out more information about that. If your group wants to co-host this event, please message Blockade IMARC on Facebook or email community@blockadeimarc, that's IMARC, .com, or go to blockadeimarc.com online. So certainly get along to that. And actually, I'm trying to organise a couple of people from Blockade IMARC to come and tell us all about it. So about this time next month, a week before the Blockade IMARC actually kicks off, then we might have a few people talking about Blockade IMARC on the show. So certainly tune in to hear about that. I also wanted to mention that on Sunday the 2nd of October, Second Chance Animal Rescue, in partnership with Deluxe, we'll be hosting a pet adoption drive at the Brunswick and Coburg Bunnings. The initiative will be supported by independent rescue groups across the country who will visit their local Bunnings with pooches and felines in tow on the day to help rescue pets to find their forever homes. So between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m, Bunnings shoppers will be able to meet some of the adorable and adoption-ready cats and dogs in their local area, chat to the staff about the adoption process, and purchase some baked goods, treats from the cake stall. So certainly, obviously, adoption is the way to go. Never buy another individual. Never buy an animal. Adoption is not buying someone. It's paying for the expenses that they needed to help get that person into a position to be adopted. So make sure you always support adoption if you can. If you're looking to care for someone, Steve, you can do that through adoption. And we're just almost out of time, but Christian, you wanted to mention something that's sort of been bugging you. I suppose I've seen the same thing recently as well, something about the Impossible Burger. You've seen some news recently.
Yeah, which is I'm grinding my gears. there's been a lot of articles lately in regards to sort of pushing back on veganism in mainstream media about how, oh, these diets aren't actually that healthy. That's usually the spin they'll take. And they'll point out things like the Impossible Burger or Beyond Burger and saying, oh, wait, this burger isn't necessarily actually any more healthy than a beef burger, for example. Except, well, I don't realize that it's not aiming to be a health food. They are an alternative, which means you don't have to consume dead flesh, basically. Mm-hmm. They're meant to be a more ethical alternative choice. They're not aimed at being a health food.
Yeah, and I suppose that comes out of a lot of people pushing veganism as a health food choice when it's actually veganism is an ethical choice.
Correct.
And it can be healthy, but I mean, a lot of people don't like to hear this, but a diet with a small amount of meat can also be healthy. So pushing veganism as a health option as the way to cure all ailments is not necessarily the way I approach it. Whatever works for you, I suppose, but recognizing that there are other diets that are healthy, what veganism does best is it stops animals from being hurt.
Yep, and that's what those burgers offer an option for. If you can still have some junk food if you want, and you can do that without having to hurt another being.
Yep. Thank you very much, folks. Tune in next week at 1 p.m. to hear more about animals, and certainly stay tuned for In Psychedelia. They'll be coming up just after this break.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.